Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This summer has been kind of given over to the 11 o'clock hour, given over to the doctrine of the church, things going on in the last days. I preached on the rapture. I preached on the Bema seat. I have preached on the marriage supper of the Lamb. Preached on the rapture a second time. And now we're going to rewind just a little bit and pick up right after the rapture. And I want to preach on the coming world leader this morning. And I trust and, boy, I just pray it'll be a blessing to you. Help you stay true. I want to encourage you again. In these last days in which we live, we need to be known, and it's our prayer. I think I said this last week. I'll say it again. We ought to be known for three things here as a ministry of Fundamental Baptist Church. Number one, we need to be known for evangelism, the gospel of grace. May that be true until the trumpet sounds. Number two, the whole counsel of God, Bible doctrine, the whole word of God, everything being preached. And then number three, we need to tell people Jesus is coming again. He's coming back. Now, the next event in prophecy is the rapture of the church. That will take place before this coming world leader takes over, the Antichrist. And I'm going to try to explain this in some detail this morning. We're going to look at Revelation 13 in some detail and look at a lot of other passages and trust that I won't mess it up in your thinking and muddy it up, but instead we'll clear it up and you'll have a full understanding really of what is going on, because it's a crazy mixed up world that we are living in right now. And the church, we're in the last days. And we need to understand right now more than ever, we need to be more evangelistic. We need to be more preaching the whole counsel of God. And we need to be telling everybody that'll listen, we haven't got much time. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming again. I say that to the 11 o'clock hour. You see a few empty seats here in the auditorium this morning. And I wasn't kidding. It was a great crowd at 9 o'clock. That may have been the biggest crowd so far. And we need to do our best to fill up the auditorium two times on Sunday morning. So you got a little complacent because we've had no room to grow. Now we got some room to grow. You got a pew right in front of you or a seat near you. You can fill that seat with somebody. Let's get out. Let's get those that used to come and those that have never been here before. And let's give them opportunity to be right with God, to be saved and be right with God just before Jesus comes. There is a world leader ready to attend, ready to step out on the world stage. We're one event away from the Antichrist revealing himself. That one event is the rapture. I say this again. I know we're in the last days. I know preachers before me said we were in the last days. These technically, theologically, have been the last days ever since Calvary. This is the church age. We're at the end of the church age. 2 Peter 3:8, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Again, 6,000 years of human history. 1,000 years, millennial kingdom. That will complete human history on this earth the way we know it. 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. The seventh day, the Sabbath, the millennial kingdom. We're at the end. No man knows the day or the hour, but we certainly can know the season. Please know this. When the trumpet sounds, you ought not to be surprised. Not as a member of the family of God, a member of a New Testament local church, you know we are in the last days. If you were going to win your neighbor, you better get about doing it. If you're going to win Uncle Billy, you better start doing it. If you're going to witness to someone, you better get doing it now. Now is the time. The time is short. The trumpet is going to sound. As soon as the trumpet sounds, the rapture takes place, that blessed event, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the church is taken from this earth, the world will be in utter chaos. That's when a world leader will step forth on the stage. We're going to read in Revelation chapter 13, the first beast that comes will be the Antichrist. He will be a governmental leader. The second beast that appears will be the false prophet. He will be a religious leader. The dragon, he's already at work. That's the devil. Now, you got to know that to understand Revelation in chapter 13. You saw in the news this week of the G20 summit of world leaders. I watched them as they took the picture. I saw it, a clip of it. And I tried to look at the face of every one of them wondering if he was the Antichrist. I believe he's alive. I believe he knows who he is. And there's a system, there is a plan that he is following, hatched in the bowels of hell. The Russian bear is again strong. Gog and Magog in the Bible. The kings of the East, nuclear weaponry. China, North Korea. That's the Bible. The great river Euphrates that will be dried up for military convenience. The river Euphrates flows through Syria and Iraq and ends in the Persian Gulf. The Middle East is a powder keg just waiting for a spark. The rapture will take place. We are delivered from the wrath to come. Then a world leader will step forth. He will become president of the world. He'll become prime minister of the world. I don't know what his title is going to be, but it won't be Antichrist. Look at Revelation chapter 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. The sea there picturing the world, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his head, upon his horns, 10 crowns, the 10 kings. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and a dragon. The dragon gave him his power, that's Satan, by the way, and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and a deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The devil has been known by many different names. The king of Babylon, Lucifer, the little horn, the king of fierce countenance, the willful king, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the lawless one, the beast, the Antichrist. His chief business has always been religion. Let me answer this question first. Say, where will he come from? You might want to jot these down. Maybe I've preached some of this before and you've jotted some of it down before, and likely you've forgotten it. He will come, he will be a Gentile from the Mediterranean Sea area, Revelation 13:1. According to Daniel in chapter 8, he will have Grecian blood in his veins. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26, something to do with the city of Rome. Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 39, he will have a Jewish heritage, Jewish blood in his veins. He'll appear like a Gentile, but like Hitler, fear to reveal his Jewish bloodline. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7, this is where he comes from. Let's all turn there together. Just turn back a page. Revelation 11, 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. He will be from the bowels of the bottomless pit. The Antichrist will be an egotistical puppet. Mid-tribulation, he is taken over completely by the dragon, by the devil himself. Go back to Revelation in chapter 3, or 13. Revelation in chapter 13. Verse 3 says, he will be mortally wounded, receive a deadly wound, and he will be healed. This all takes place in the middle of the tribulation. At the middle of the tribulation, several things happen simultaneously, almost simultaneously. One is the beast will desecrate the temple in Jerusalem. Another thing that will happen is the beast, the Antichrist, will throw off the great whore, the apostate ecumenical church. The devil always just uses people and then gets rid of them when he's done. That happens mid-tribulation. Another thing that happens is anti-Semitism will break out. War against the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, like this world. It will make Hitler's Holocaust look like a Sunday school picnic. Literally, the last 3.5 years, all hell breaks loose on earth. The devil shows his real colors. The first beast, the Antichrist, right after the rapture, will confirm a peace treaty with Israel. That first beast, the Antichrist, will do his very best. It'll be a governmental man. He'll be some, you say, he'll be a politician. You say, I knew it. I knew he'd be a politician. And he will. He will be a politician. Great craft. He will deceive. He will take over without ever firing a shot. The description in Daniel in chapter 8 and chapter 9 is he has a bow but no arrows. Through political influences, at least that's what is shown to the world. There'll be a lot of other things going on behind the scenes. He will take over, step on the front of the world stage, and he will take over. He will be a man of the sea, it says in Revelation and chapter 13 and verse 8. Verse 4 says, and they worship the dragon, that being Satan, which gave power unto the beast. Verse 3, if you go back up to that, it speaks of indirectly the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is indescribable and unduplicated in world history. And the devil, the phony, the facade, the satanic trinity is going to fake a resurrection in at some point just prior to the middle of the tribulation. And the greatest miracle of all, that third portion, that third thing that makes up the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, will be imitated by the dragon working in the first beast that comes. And although he receives this mortal wound, he rises again, and the world will worship him. And I want to say this in case I don't make it clear at some point during this message. The devil's always been about religion. And what we read about here in chapter 13 is the satanic trinity. We have the dragon who is anti-God. We have the beast who is anti-Christ. And we have the false prophet who is anti-Holy Spirit. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we have the devil, the antichrist, and the false prophet. And it's always been about religion. So he starts out using politics, using government, using let's all get together kind of thing. And there'll be a one world leader. Just prior to midway through the tribulation, then the false prophet steps onto the scene. He comes from the pit of hell as well. And he causes everybody to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist. He's conquered the grave. You can just imagine how he's going to manipulate that message and make it his own gospel. He did it again. Jesus did it again, and people will worship him, thinking he's God, thinking he's the very Savior. And the false prophet, he's all about religion. I got to get to it. I got to get all the way down to verse 11. Let me read a little bit more. Verse 5 says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Now we're mid-tribulation, last 3.5 years. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. You see, for the first 3.5 years, just like the devil, just like a politician to lie to your face, he'll tell you what you want to hear and all the simpletons believe it. You know, so, oh yeah, 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 oh yeah. And tell you everything you want to hear, all the sound bites. But right at the middle of the tribulation, it's like he shows his real colors. He desecrates the temple. He makes war against the saints of God. He turns his evil and his wrath towards the descendants of Abraham. He does all he can to destroy the Jewish nation. Verse 6 says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now I want to give you a little bit of hope here and help you to understand that not everybody takes the mark of the beast. In fact, according to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, and then all of chapter 7, there's a great soul harvest that takes place during the tribulation. 144,000 Jewish evangelists get the gospel. They start preaching the Messiah. They start preaching that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Don't listen to the prime minister. Don't listen to the president. Don't listen to the false prophet, whatever title he goes by. Let's just say bishop, whatever. Don't listen to them. Only Jesus is the answer. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus, the son of Joseph. Jesus, the one that died and shed his blood on Mount Calvary and rose again after 3 days and ascended on into heaven. And he's coming back. He's coming back again. He's already come back once and the church was taken. He's going to come back again. Now's the time to receive Christ. Now listen, it's easy to get saved today. It won't be easy during the tribulation. Man, now you just get saved, man. You get born again. It's wonderful. Then if you don't take the mark of the beast, well, we'll read on. We'll read it. There's going to be great, great persecution and difficulties. Verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth, verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. It ain't going to get easy. It ain't going to be easy to get saved during the tribulation if you survive the 21 judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. If you're able to elude the Antichrist and his forces of evil, if you elude being hunted down, if somehow you can survive, listen, you have no guarantee you're going to make it that long. Get saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Today now is the time to receive Christ. You don't want to be here when the Antichrist takes over. Verse 11 says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is the area of Palestine. This is the religious leader. This is the false prophet, the third person of the satanic trinity. The devil's business has always been religion. I want to say this again. When the Antichrist comes, he will introduce, look at Daniel chapter 2, look at Revelation chapter 17, look at the other passages in the book of Daniel, look at 2 Thessalonians, look at 1 Thessalonians. He will introduce a one world government. That's what he's, well, let's all get together. I can deliver the goods. I can deliver peace. Peace will be ever elusive. There's only one Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. That is not a title for Satan. He's the Prince of Darkness. He's completely different. After he uses that policy of government to come into power and to gain control of the world, enters the apostate church, still in the first 3.5 years. Boy, I wish we could look at all these passages. I got to get done for the radio, all right? But the ecumenical apostate church described in Revelation in chapter 17, great ornaments and gold and silver and pageantry and a one world religion. The ecumenical religious movement, hear me, is a movement of compromise. It's a movement away from the Bible, away from the old time religion. Jesus says, straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life eternal. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. That's the ecumenicalism is not a good word. It's, you give up this, it's politics with religion. You give up this, I'll give up that. We'll meet in the middle. It's kind of like the choir this morning. First time we practiced that number downstairs, there was a part where the basses have a big part, and Jim came in a half step too early. I told him we had to go through it again. Greg wasn't satisfied, said we got to practice it again. That's why we were late getting up here. I leaned over, because Jim was the problem. I leaned over and said, Jim, I said, Jim, you just started just a little bit too early that time, just a little bit. It kind of threw a lot of guys off. Just follow me. We went through it a second time. This time we started too late, because he followed me. And so we got up here in the choir and we hit it. We nailed it. It was right down the middle. And I said, man, you started too early. I started too late. This time we followed God and we did it right. That's really the way it's supposed to be. Absolutely. But the devil's going to use, yeah, no doctrine's all that important, right? That's just a little piece of the Bible. That's not. And there's, it's going to be a watering down. The apostate church. From the city of seven hills, read Revelation chapter 17. From the city of seven hills, you know, and it's just going to be a watering down. It's going to be revived Babylon all over again. Verse 11 says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns that horns are a picture of authority. By the way, two horns like a lamb. This is a false prophet. This is not the Lamb of God. And he spake as a dragon. Again, the voice of the devil, the voice of Satan. Not a meek lamb like the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven. The devil can do that. The devil's all about doing some fake miracles. Remember Jannes and Jambres in the Old Testament? All right, it says, and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Here it is again, the false resurrection. I can hear him saying something like this. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This is Jesus of Nazareth born again in the world. He conquered the grave the second time, and the teeming masses of the world will worship him. The false prophet will say, you must have the mark of the beast, some form of the number 666. We read about it here. You say, is it going to be all that important? Yep. There'll be no economy without the mark of the beast. You won't go down to the grocery store and get any kind of food that may be available there. He won't pay any bills. There'll be no changing of funds, no economy without the mark of the beast. We're going to read that in just a moment. There'll be no government leadership without the mark of the beast. Physically, without the mark of the beast, you'll be impacted in many different ways. It says in verse 15, he did give power. Verse 16, I'm sorry, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That's equivalent to death. You take the mark of the beast, you never get born again. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that, I got a lot of money in the bank. It's not yours anymore until you take the mark. See, that's going to be pretty tough for the selfishly motivated man. I got to feed my children. That'd be heart-wrenching. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You said, preacher, I thought that was just kind of a story. No, that is Bible. Now, a lot of stories have been made about it that aren't true. All kinds of spinoffs that Hollywood has taken and run amok to muddy up the waters. Here's the truth of it. The next event is the rapture. After the rapture of the church, the world is in chaos. Think about it. Millions of people taken from this world. Millions missing. All ranks and positions of people. World economy collapses. In low likelihood, during that first 3.5 years, the Western Hemisphere is eliminated. I don't say that as a fact. I say that as an opinion. But that's the only part of the world that isn't mentioned in Bible prophecy. And we know 1/4 of the world is eliminated in those first 3.5 years. So all the world is in chaos. Enter the stage a new leader, a world leader, wearing a fancy suit, a $1,500 suit. He's smooth. He causes people to follow him with his tongue. He's an absolute politician. He gets all the countries of the world to follow him. 13, 10, 10, and then 3 revolt. And there's a little bit of turmoil there, but he handles them with an iron fist. And there's some revolution in that first 3.5 years because he can't deliver real peace, but he handles him with an iron fist. And he's the ruler of the world. And he's mortally wounded. And after he's mortally wounded, he rises again. The false prophet, the second beast, says he's Jesus. He's Christ incarnate. He's come again, just like he said he was going to come. You can see how that all runs down. How that all is going to fit together. The world will worship him. The devil has always been about religion. Remember what the devil was? He was an angel of God. He was an archangel named Lucifer. Lifted up with his own beauty and pride and ambition and music. That's mentioned there. And he's always been about music. And it causes a third of the angels of heaven to follow him. And there's a war in heaven in eternity past. And of course, God wins every time. And the devil is cast down to this whole world. And a third of the angels are cast down with him. Some of those demons, some of those angels are so wicked, they're reserved in chains of darkness not to be released until the last 3.5 years. And Apollyon and all those demons are released. That's when all hell breaks loose on earth. But some of those angels, those fallen angels, are demons at the devil's command today. And he walks to and fro, seeing who he may devour. Because the devil hates you. So the Antichrist is the devil's man. The 7 years of tribulation is his last hurrah. Then Jesus comes. Armageddon. Read it, Book of Revelation. On a white horse. And the armies of heaven with him will be there. This is after the Bema Seat. And we'll be there. We bring our rewards with us. And it'll be a great, and it'll be an awesome, it'll be a terrible battle where the blood flows as deep as the horse's bridle. And the wrath of God falls upon this earth. There's a lot more to preach. That's another day. I close by saying this. The devil is a phony. His ministers are angels of light, Paul told the church of Corinth. Transformed into ministers of light. They're religious leaders. The devil himself transformed into an angel of light. He is a phony. He wears a fake uniform. He wears a white hat. He tells everybody, follow me, we'll follow God together. He's the Pied Piper that gets all kinds of people to follow him. Know the Bible. The devil does not win. Jesus is coming back. We're going to be gathered together to meet him in the clouds. 7 years will pass by on this earth with 21 judgments. And the man of sin will have his way. But at the end of that 7 years, Jesus is coming all the way back and setting foot on Mount Olivet, there in Jerusalem. And Armageddon takes place. He comes to rescue Israel. The Israel that receives Jesus as the Messiah. Then the 1,000 years. That'll be a great day.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.